Gary, you know, it's okay. We're family. Somebody will remind us, right? Hey, so today's church family picnic, so some of you are already dressed for church family picnic, so I'm also going to give you permission to be a little rowdy-er this morning. That means you can yell in the middle of the service, amen! Amen. Or maybe you can get rowdy and say, ooh, that was good. Or you can look at your neighbor and say, are you listening? All right, so you have permission to be a little active. It's, you know, maybe it's 80% me and I'm giving you 10% you. All righty. So today, grab your Bibles, open up to Exodus chapter 3. We're going to camp out there pretty much the whole time. But I want to talk about Moses. And back when I was teaching children's ministry, what a fun story to dress up as. Oh my gosh. Do you know that we have a pile of bugs for acting this out? And we've got a pile of snakes for acting. I mean, just the best, right? Just the best. But I don't have bugs and snakes today, but we are going to go at it today. So today I want to talk about Moses and his story and the call on his story and the questions he asks about the call and then the comeback. And then we're going to tie it all in. I'm just going to throw something at you. We're going to have a little white flag going on. So I'll tell you what all that's about in a few minutes. But y'all at Exodus chapter 3, here we go, the story of Moses. Now Moses was sending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness where he came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in the flames of fire within a bush. Moses saw the bush that was on fire, but it didn't burn up. So Moses thought, oh, I'll go over there and I'll see this strange sight. Why the bush is not burning up? When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses. Everybody say with me. See, you're participating. That wasn't hard. Okay. Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here am I. Verse 5. Don't come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Verse 6, then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hit his face, really hit the floor, because he was afraid to look at God. Verse 7, the Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. Take a break here for a second. So, In case you're new to YCF, you're new to the Bible, you're new to Jesus, let me give the backstory real short. So God is saying, hey, the children of Israel have been in Egypt as slaves for 400 years, okay? And then he says, these are also called my people. Okay, now you're up to date. Let's keep reading. I have heard them cry because of their slave drivers. I am concerned about their suffering, so I have come down to rescue them. Raise your hand if you are glad that God sent Jesus come down to rescue you. Aren't you glad he's in the rescue business? I'd be pitiful. So would you. Okay, so he's in the rescue business. All righty, here we go. Keep going. I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Verse 10, so now go, I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. Let's pray before I go any farther. Okay, right. Father, we love you so much. We thank you for just sending Jesus, not just sending Jesus. And Father, today I pray that you open every heart, Father, to hear what you have to say. Father, and I ask that my words would be just anointed by the Holy Spirit. And Father, I don't know everybody's story, but you do. And I thank you that you have words for everybody, wherever they are in their story this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Amen. Amen. Come on. Okay. So let me tell you a story. How many of you love to go to the movie theater? It's kind of, you know, I have to, well, I have a couple of friends, one in particular, I'm going to tell their story. He loves to go to the movie theater. He loves the whole experience. He loves the extra large popcorn with the butter that don't even ask what's in that. He loves the large drink. He loves peanut M&Ms. He loves the soft pretzel. He just loves the whole experience of going to movie theaters, okay? And guess what happened? His first job in high school, the movie theater. He worked at the movie theater, and he just loved it. You know, he got paid to go to the movies, really. And if he wanted on his day off to invite his 5 buds to come with him, he'd say to his boss, "Hey, can we go see the movie today for free?" "Yeah, come on in." So imagine some high school kid, I get to go to the movies for free. Just like, and he thought, man, I've had my dream job, okay? And he gets paid to go to the movie theater. Okay, 10 years down the road, guess what? He's married and he's got some kids. I asked him, "When was the last time you went to the movie?" He says, "Probably once a year. We call it date night, all right?" You know, just, and then he says, "Right now, I'm at the stage of my life, if I hit the TV and watch a movie, it's like little 15 minutes. And then the next day, I might get the 15 minutes. And then I got to go back because I don't remember what I saw. And I'm not even sure if I finished the stories, okay?" So that's where he is in life. So we were just kind of chatting about that. And then he kind of took a left turn. So I want you to take the left turn. He said, "Hey, Dee, do you know that there's a formula to movies? Hollywood's actually got a formula when they make these movies." And I'm like, "What are you talking about? I go to the movies, okay?" So he goes on and he says, "The formula, they got this formula when they make movies. And if they stick to the formula, they're going to make money if they stick to the formula. And even if they get some bad reviews," what's those, tomato blurpers, right? Yeah. "You get a couple of those. If you stick to the formula," and my brain's going, "If you stick to the formula, you're going to do okay." So I'm like, "Okay, what are we going to ask them? What's the formula?" All right, so I'm like, "What's the formula?" So if you're taking notes, jot this down. All movies have a call. Everybody say call. Okay, there's a call to action. There's somebody that is called to do something. Action. Okay. And then there's a question. The question, it's usually the main character that starts questioning themselves, like, "Do I have enough intelligence to do the call? Do I have enough strength to do the call? Do I have enough whatever to do the call?" So there's a question. That's part of the formula. And the third part is there's always a comeback. A comeback story. So such as the comeback moment looks like, man, the main character's gonna just die. And then all of a sudden, you know, all these things happen and he does really good. So we got the call. What's the next one? I'm gonna keep you awake. The question? What's the next one? All right. Now, I'm gonna give you kind of the general guidelines to this, and I hope and I'll tell you what, ever since I had this conversation, every time I sit down and watch TV and a movie, I'm going, that's the call. Oh my gosh, he's at the question part. Ooh, I wonder what. And I usually read the last part of the book and find out the ending. But okay, so general guidelines. Ready? General guidelines. Here we go. In the call, there's always a bad guy, right, that needs to be defeated. I love superheroes, and they follow the principle. The superhero is going to defeat the bad guy, right? Don't you like those superheroes? I love Avengers, okay? And then, or maybe there's a treasure, or maybe there's a mission they have to accomplish, or maybe there's a person that needs to be rescued. All of that's about the call, all right? Second thing is the question, all right? The question is, here's the main character, and they're like, "Oh, I don't know if I can defeat the bad guy. I don't know if I can find the treasure and read the map and get it. I don't know if our team's going to win." So they start questioning. Okay, so we got the call and the question. All right, and the last one is the comeback. I love the comeback. But usually it's like, oh, the good guy's injured, and we're not even sure he's going to make it, right? You know? And then or else they have setbacks like the team, they're down 2 points. They don't even have the ball. And somehow they get the ball and they throw the ball and the clock is ticking and the buzzer goes off, and they score. That's the comeback, right? You guys go to movies? Okay, all right. So, but I have to say this. I need a drink. Here we go. No. Hollywood is not that creative. I mean, they've been doing this formula forever. But guess who wrote the formula? Come on. God wrote the formula. Huh, somebody, yeah. God wrote the formula, okay? And God uses the formula not only to tell stories, but he uses the same formula in the midst of our life and our story. So, now, the Bible is not just action film. It's not just a drama. It's not just a comedy. Though, you read your Bible, drama, drama, drama. You read your Bible, action, action, action. In some parts, I'm going, this is a goofy thing, and that, you know, you're just kind of laughing. So read your Bible. But listen, the Bible, the stories in it are really documentary. Not of makeup people that Hollywood has. The Bible are full of stories, like Moses' story we're going to get to, of people's real life where God comes in and God brings them through to a comeback. So there's always one theme, though, okay, in God's stories, all right? There's always one theme. Ready? Write this down. We trust God. We're going to trust God. It's the one thing you do in your call, in your questions, in your story. We're going to trust God. You ought to write that down. It's a post-it note from Monday. Ready? Okay, so let's get into Moses. We're gonna break down the call. We're going to break down the question, and we're going to break down the comeback. And I just want to say today, wherever you are in your story, I want you to understand that God actually uses you and me and people, even in the midst of our stories, wherever you are in your story. So, if you take notes, number one, the call. The call always has an action for you, and the call always has an action item for God. And in this part of the story, the action is God finds people. So let's read Exodus chapter 3, verse 10. Exodus 3:10. So now go, he's talking to Moses. So now go, Moses, I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt because they've been in slavery. So what's the call? Moses, you're going, this is the action part. For Moses, you're going to get my people out of Egypt, all right? Now, let me tell you a story about the call. I'll get there. So a couple years back, we're on a family vacation. We're at the beach. And you know, what do you do when the first day you get to the beach? You go to the grocery store, right? And then you just shove things in the cupboard. So it's the next morning. And I don't care if I'm on vacation or it's Monday morning. I get up real early. You know what sleeping is for me? 7 o'clock. But I usually get up really early, okay? And I go grab my Bible and I sit down and read. But we're on vacation. And I make coffee. So we're on vacation. So I go to the kitchen before anybody's awake. And I'm opening cupboards, because I don't know where they put the coffee. Then I find the coffee. And then I'm like, where are the coffee filters? So I'm making the coffee. And apparently, I was a little loud, even in my flip-flops, okay? You know who had big flip-flops. And all of a sudden I hear pitter-patter, 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 and out comes this two-year-old just smiling. And I'm like, oh, yay, darn, okay? Because there goes my time. And then out of the corner of my eye, I see this bedroom door open where the mama comes out, and I get that look. Mama, show me the look. Yeah. So I get the look, and we kind of have this, I'm so sorry. I'm really sorry. I woke the kid up. I woke you up. So after we all had coffee and it was settled down, we read our Bibles too. You should do that in the middle of this. And not this daughter, but the other daughter says, tomorrow night or tonight when you go to bed, mother, if I get the mother name, mother, tonight when you go to bed, you are to set up the coffee, the grounds, the filter, the water. So tomorrow morning, you just press the button. And I don't like them because I'm making a big pot. And then do not wear your flip-flops and don't open any cupboards. And I'm like, yes, 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 okay? So you know what I realized? When there's a call, when there's an assignment, you will walk differently. You will talk differently. You will look different. Now take this with your life, okay? That's my story, your life, okay? So maybe what you are called to serve, by the way, I read this in my Bible. You read it in yours too. You're called to serve. Everybody say serve. Yeah, and serve in the local church. So maybe you're called to serve, called to serve in the local church, and you got here at 10 a.m. so you could set up, so you could go serve in the service, some part in this building. Or you got here at 8:30 so you could do the sound test. We practice, I learned this. So you could, the worship team, they get here 8:30. I actually beat them here. I was at 8:15 because I am so psyched about the picnic. I want to make sure we had everything. I know. So, but you're called to serve, so you'll get here early to serve, all right? So maybe you're called, right? And when you're called, you will look differently, you will walk differently, and maybe you're called to serve, to share Jesus with people, okay? And you're called to serve maybe in your workplace or in your school or at the gym, whatever your sphere is influence is, okay? When you feel like that you are called to do that, you will look different, you will walk different, you will talk different. As a matter of fact, when you go into work, if you are called like that, you will not just walk in like everybody else, probably late, you know, and you'll walk in and you'll go, Father God, who do you have for me to pray for today? Father God, am I to ask them out for lunch? Father, you know, am I to invite them to church? But listen, when you're called, you will look different, you'll walk different, and you will talk different. Everybody say, I'm called. I'm so different. Okay. All right. Let's see. Let me see what that second part. Oh. But here's the crazy thing. Most people, Christians, I'm talking to Christians, don't know that there's a call on their life. Most Christians don't realize they are called to something. Everybody smile at me, okay? So, I wrote down 10 things, and really, I could have written 100. I could have gone through my Bible. I just really condensed it, and I'll go fast. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, 10 things that I believe that God has called us to. By the way, you can get these after service. Okay, here we go. Number one, 10 things that God has called you to. God has called you out of darkness. God has called you to a relationship with Jesus. God has called you to shame the wise and the strong. God has called you to live in peace and grace. God has called you to holiness. God has called you to run your race. God has called you to win the prize. God has called you, thank you, Jesus, to liberty. God has called you to live in peace. I already said that. And God has called you to be in a community of believers. They're all over your Bible, okay? And I just squeezed in 10 of them, okay? But here's the thing. So many believers don't realize, don't believe that they are called from God to do stuff in their life. But I'll help you out today, all right? So let me give you an example. I was working on this. So let's say I've had my same phone number since I got my first phone. So, you know, I'm ancient of days like those dinosaurs. So at least 20 years. I've had my same phone number for 20 years. And let's say for some reason I go change it. I change my phone number, okay? So I've got a new phone number, and I have this dear friend that lives out of state, and God has put on her heart. God has put on her heart. You need to bless D. You need to bless D with cha-ching, cha-ching, okay? How many of you like cha-ching, cha-ching? Okay, so she's just praying, and she's like, I need to bless D. So she's calling me, calling, but I changed my number, all right? Okay, and I don't know that she's calling me. Why? Yay, okay, participation, okay, all right. Okay, why? Because she doesn't know, and I don't know there's a call either. Guys, we're all called, but we ought to know our call. All right, so open up to Romans chapter 8. All righty. Romans chapter 8. Verse 29. I think it's verse 28. I gave you the wrong one, so you just have to open your real Bibles. Go ahead. I gave them the wrong one. Verse 28. And we know, wink, wink, we know that in all things, God works for the good for those who love him. And here's the kicker, for those who have been called, but guess what? According to his purpose. Everybody say his purpose. All right. So this is in the story where I'm going to do this a lot. The white flag moment, called to his purpose, okay? Have you ever heard of this expression, give up so you can go up, okay? This applies to this story, all right? Because sometimes what I see is that we're called to do some things, but you might have to give up, surrender some things to do the call that you've been called, right? All right, so I call this the white flag moment. You're going to see this a lot today. Let's see if I can put it here and not drop it, all right? So if you don't know what this is, you're so young. So I can say, so in the old movies, maybe in the black and white, okay, the enemy is being attacked, okay, and there's only a few of them left, and they have this conversation. Oh, my gosh, we're going to get killed. We need to do something. We need to surrender. And somebody comes out. What are they doing? They wave the flag. How many of you have seen a movie like that? See, you're young. You even know that. It's a white flag. All right. So here's the white flag when you have the call. Ready? You need to surrender your purpose. What do you mean, Pastor D? I'm supposed to figure out my purpose. Listen to this. If your purpose is only you, me, myself, and I, or us four no more. If your purpose is only that, it's really not your purpose. Sorry. Okay? So what we need to do is we need to surrender our purpose so we can ultimately find out what God's purpose is. All right? And I tell you what, my life has been doing that for a lot. But here's the thing. If you thought your purpose was to get the big, that car, or to get that job, or get to that house up on the fancy hill, if your purpose is more stuff, I want to tell you that is not your purpose from God, okay? That is not your purpose. But let me tell you this. God wants to bless you with all that stuff. And I'm going to take it, okay? God wants to bless you with this stuff, okay? But he wants to use you and your story for his glory. He wants to use your story for other people. So it's not I, me, righty? So the white flag is I'm going to surrender my purpose, okay? All righty, now. Number two, let's go to the question part. Number two, the question. In this part of the story, we're going to read chapter 3, verse 11 of Exodus. In this part of the story, God has an action item, and it is where God is just persistent, okay? Now, let's read this. Turn your page, Pastor D. Here we go. Exodus 3:11. But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" What is Moses doing? He is going on the doubting machine. He's doubting himself, right? All right. Now, have you ever been in that zone where you started doubting? Like, how about this? God, you want me to start a business? Do you know how old I am? God, did you check the interest lights? Okay. God, you want me to do this? You want me to start a family? Did you not see the diagnosis report that we just got? God, you want me to do this? Are you kidding me? That would have been me. All righty? Okay. Now, I have to tell you, I have said that for everything in the many steps of the call in my life. I can remember we're having a discussion. Let's have a family. God, I don't know anything about raising kids. Are you kidding me? I got asked, called, shoved into, really, but it was a part of my call, to lead a middle school Bible club. God, I can't do that. I don't even like that age group. Are you kidding me? Okay? God, you want me to do this? God, you want me to do this? God, I can't. Anybody ever say those? All right? I can't. Okay, so Moses starts to doubt himself, but I love God's response. You know, God's just, he replaces the me, I can't, and he goes to the big I. So verse 12, ready? Exodus 3:12. And God said, I will be with you. I'm coming along. Isn't that great? All right, now, and the cool part is, you know, where Moses says, you know, God, I'm a stutterer. I can't do that. God, I've been a bad leader. I can't do that. God, I don't know. I'm definitely not qualified. God didn't even go and pay any attention to that. God's not even going to deal with that. He just simply says, it's okay. I'm going with you, right? Isn't that beautiful? That is just so good. So if you're taking notes, jot this down. If you're taking notes, you can forget who you are, but you better remember who God is, all right? So it's okay to have moments, okay, where you say, I'm not sure if I can pull this off, God, I am not sure. It's okay to have moments where you go, God, I can't. It's okay, God, I don't know how you're going to do this, but I can't do this. It's okay to have moments like that. Anybody have some moments with God like that? I've had a few, all right? But you better remember who our God is. Our God is willing. Our God is able. Our God is going to be with you. So who are you going to remember? Our God. All right. So white flag moment. If you're taking notes, I'm going to surrender my plan. I'm going to surrender my plan. Yep. Okay. You know, and Pastor Sherry even said this. I always love when people sing a song or say something like, that's my notes. Stop it. Okay, but Pastor Sherry said this, you know, as I've lived life, I've learned just a few things, that God doesn't listen to my plan. He doesn't play out my plan. I used to kid around, I still do. God, I could be a programmer for you, because I, you know, but he doesn't always, and most of the time, play out my plan. But you know what? His plans are good. His plans are better. His plans actually show up on time, all right? But I need to maybe surrender my plan, okay? So the moments that you are questioning the call that God has speaking to you, just where you are in your story, the moment that you've got this call and you start questioning, God, I don't know, what do you mean, God, you know what you need to do? Stay with the Word of God. Write that down. Stay with what God said, all right? So if you're questioning God, stay with what God said. Open up to Psalm 119. Listen to this. And most of you, I think we even sing a song about this. Ready? Psalm 119, 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light on my path, all right? And after following the Lord for a couple of decades, you know what? I usually only see the top of the mountain. When God's given me a call or an assignment or things to do, I just usually can only see the top. And I usually, he doesn't show me the path. But you know what he does do? He'll put a light to my feet, and then I'm going to take the next step. And he's going to put a light to my feet, and I'm going to take the next step and the next step. So basically, he tells you the big vision. But he doesn't always tell you all this stuff. So we're going to stay with the word. By the way, there's so many ways to hear from God, but the number one way is the B-I-B-L-E, the word of God. So if I love y'all, I'm going to slide. So when you say, Pastor D, I don't hear from God, you know what you just told me? You're not reading your Bible. Smile, okay? So just going to throw that in there. Alrighty. So when you start questioning, when you start having doubts, okay, just camp out in the Word of God. Just stay there. Somebody say amen. Amen. Good preaching, Pastor D. Okay, number three. Ready? The last one, the comeback, okay? So here's God's action. God's action for the comeback. God's going to bring the power. I love when God brings the power. All right? So verse 12 again. Got to turn my page. Here we go. Exodus 3:12. And God said to Moses, I will be with you, and this will be the sign. Everybody say the sign. All right? This will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Okay, we're going to break this down. Because I remember the first time I read this, I'm going, this is so confusing. Like, what? All right, so here we have God giving Moses the call. What's his call? Bring my people out of Egypt. Okay, that's the call. All right. And then he says, and this is the proof. This is the proof. This is the proof that you're actually going to pull it off. So if you know, if God is talking to me, I'm Moses. Moses, this is the proof. I'm like, oh man, this is going to be awesome. God's going to send 10,000 angels on the right side and the left side and cast them out. And God's going to do signs and wonders. And God's going to have fire from heaven. And I'm thinking, that's the proof. That's the sign. Right? It wasn't. All right. So, because in my mind, Moses' mind, that sign, whoa, it's going to be awesome. We're not going to all die out here. That's the sign. It's going to be incredible. But listen to what God says. Here's the sign. You're going to come back to this mountain. So I'm reading this, and I'm like, God, you know, that's a little confusing. God, what are you talking about? Okay, write this down. And this is what God says. God stands outside of time. He says, I have seen the beginning, and I have seen the end. All right, so when God's talking to Moses, and Moses is like, you know, he's like, don't worry, Moses. I already know how this plays out. I know how this is going to be in the middle, and I know how this is going to be in the end. So this is where you go, just chill, all right? So you might be in the middle of your story. You might be in the beginning of your story, and you're like, God, I know that you've called me to something, okay? And you're like, but this thing, I okay, ever get like stuttered like this? And God is saying, listen, how about this? I am the movie director. I tell them to move this over here. Hey, put the lights over here. Hey, put the scenes over here. Hey, I even know the middle of this because I'm the movie director, okay? And it's going to end up great. So how about you see God as the movie director, and better yet, he is the what? The author and the finisher. So God has written your story, and we're going to walk in. I trust God. So God has written this story, all right? And you maybe have just gone to the next chapter, the first line, and you're reading that, and you go, no way. Wait a minute. He's the director, the author, and the finisher. And you know what he does? He closed the book, and he signs his name on it, like, God, I wrote this, all right? So how about, he's talked to you, he's directing you, wherever you are in life, okay? And he's going, I've got a call in your life, I need you to trust, okay? So, oh yes, yes, the comeback, let's do that. This is, raise your hand if this has ever happened to you. You know, you just know that God has spoken to your heart to do something, okay? Like, I know I am called to do this. All right, and then I'm like, the next thing, what do you do next? Pray, because I'm like, God, what do I do next? And then God tells you the next thing that you're to do. Oh, yippee, okay? But then it doesn't happen, and it doesn't happen, and it doesn't happen. And I'm going, God, why is it taking so long? What's going on here, all right? Okay, and you start questioning, God, you know, you called me to do this. You spoke to me about this part of my life, okay? And I am not seeing it. Or better yet, this one. God, I know you called me to this, to do something, okay? And now everything has hit the fan. Like everything has blown up all over the place. Anybody here have that? You're like, yes, God, I will do that. And everything just goes wacko, all right? God, this is my favorite one. God, why is it taking so long? God is why it's taking long. Okay, so you start questioning, and I'm going to say it again, and this is what God say: stay with the word of God. Just stay with what God spoke to you, even if it takes, all right, takes longer than you think. Okay, Romans, go back to Romans chapter 8, verse 28. This time I want to read this out of the Amplified. Praise God. Romans 8, 28. And because, stay with the word, because God's got a comeback story for every single one of us. Romans 8:28. And we know with great confidence that God, who is deeply concerned about us, causes all things to work together as a plan for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to his plan and his purpose. Okay, God loves a comeback story, but here's the white flag part of this, okay? I know this is me, maybe none of you, but I get out and I have to surrender my pride. Because I wrote a better plan. Are you kidding me? Like, okay, so you have to surrender your plan to pride. Just pride, just get rid of it. Okay, pride's really a nasty thing. Okay, so, and you might be thinking, because I've done this, I could do this. My own intellect and my own strength and my own ability, I can do this. And then it's not happening, okay? Okay, I can actually pull off this call all by myself. I don't even have to seek God, pray about anything, okay? Can I tell you? Absolutely. If you can do the plan, the call, the thing, the assignment by yourself, it is not God's plan. Or better yet, that's just a little teeny weeny plan. And God has a plan that's going to be bigger, because I will have to say, God, I need you. And God loves to be in it. Matter of fact, he likes to be the author of the plan. But I tell you what, I write plans all the time. And I'm getting better. Getting better, okay? All right. So it's not going to be you, it's not going to be your ability. And I look across here and I see people that are gifted and talented with abilities and strengths, and plus you're so cute and so nice, all right? Okay, but it's not going to be all of that. How about I go, God, I need your grace, your empowerment, I need your Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will empower you and he will lead you and guide you so you can do his plan, amen. All right, so here we go. Maybe you're here today and you feel a call, all right? And then all of a sudden these questions pop up. God, how, God? How am I going to do this, God? God, you want me to start a business? God, you want me to, God, I'm going to turn my family around after the way I really messed up? God, how can I do all of this? So you got all these questions going, okay? Here's my answer for you. Ready? You have a call. Everybody say, I have a call. You're called. That's what that's your answer when all that's going on. Everybody say, I'm called. I'm called to do this, okay? And maybe, how about your comeback moment? How about your comeback moment is, how about you come back to a moment at the feet of Jesus? I'm usually there half the time. Okay? Just come back and say, Jesus, I'm here. All right? I need your help. All righty? And for some of you, maybe it's a first-time relationship. You come to Jesus because you don't even know how much Jesus loves you, that he cares for you, that he has promised to walk you through every part of your story. So maybe it's a comeback moment there, right? And the problem is, I know I have a call, and I got these questions, and I know, okay, I'm going to trust you. There's a comeback story, but I just can't see it. All right, everybody, you know, you're going, but you just can't see it, okay? Just know God is behind every scene, and he will be with you. So I'd like us to pray, all right? Would you all bow your heads and close your eyes? Not because we're religious, okay? Just so we just get focused here, okay? Maybe you're here, and you need to accept the call of Jesus in your life. Okay? Maybe you're here and you need to just come back to a relationship with Jesus in your life, all righty? Because listen, God's been calling you. You know, I love when people tell me their stories and they'll go, man, I knew God was after me. He'd wake me up in the middle of the night. He'd have people, all sorts of people in my life that would tell me how much he loves me. Okay? So maybe that's you, all righty? So I just want to give you an invitation to the call of Jesus in your life. And I just ask you to pray with me, all right? Matter of fact, we're all going to pray this together, just out loud. Just pray it from your heart, all right? It's nothing, I'm not going to ask you to come up front, okay? But just everybody with their heads bowed, eyes closed, okay? Say this, Jesus, I love you. Today, right now, I give you my life. And I just turn and repent from my sins. And I choose to follow you all the days of my life. And this day, I look forward to you guiding my story. And this day, I'm your child forever. Amen. Amen. So if you prayed that prayer for the first time, I read this in the Bible a couple places. Heaven goes berserko. Heaven is celebrating that someone has come home, really, come home to the Father. And they go, celebrate, celebrate. They're just like, woohoo. All right. So if you prayed this prayer for the first time, I have some altar people that are going to be up front. Is that people's? Persons? Yeah, people's. They're going to be up front. We have Bibles to give you. Best book ever, okay? Lots of good stories in there, all right? So they're going to give you that. But I just want to pray for everybody one more time, okay? So if that wasn't you, just close your eyes one more time. Father, we just thank you so much that you love us so big, so wildly, so incredible. And I thank you, Father, that you are the author and the director of every single story of every single person here today. And Lord, I don't know their story, but Father, you know their stories. You know where they are in the call, in the questioning, in the comeback, or just at the beginning of the door. So I thank you, Father, that you will continue to show them their comeback story because you are a good Father who brings them through for their story. And I thank you, Father, that every person here, your story is not just for you. Your story is to be told for others so they can walk through theirs. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.